Welcome to Current Sports. What's going on, ladies and gents? Oh boy, hope you had a great Labor Day. Fantastic time with my family and friends. Hope you all had, did the same. It was a great time. But now it's time to get back to work, okay? We have a ton to talk about, a ton of sports news to get to. Of course, we'll recap the weekend that was in college football. Kind of go back in time and talk about that MSU and Jacksonville State game. We'll also talk about U of M as they put the smackdown on Appalachian State, EMU and their new gray field or concrete field. And how about their intro, huh? Funny stuff. So we'll kind of recap all of the college football action. We'll also go into Top 5 Tuesday, and today's Top 5 Tuesday is a special one, folks. Of course, a big, big matchup, a huge matchup this weekend. Michigan State on the national spotlight as they take on one of the powerhouses in college football, Oregon. Yes, and we're going to give you the Top 5 guarantees from the MSU-Oregon game. Yes, and give you the things that are guaranteed to happen, okay? We're going to try to play profit here. We'll see how that goes. Also, a few MSU stars got cut on and are now find themselves on practice squads in the NFL. We'll talk Tigers, Justin Verlander and Kate Upton, and so much more. But hey, as custom here on the show, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties right now, folks. I guess I'll bring you our headliners. First of all, Oregon, of course, folks, talking about that MSU and Oregon game. Of course, the chip on the shoulder mentality that the Spartan football team thrives on will certainly be in full effect this weekend against Oregon. Now, Las Vegas likes the Oregon Ducks by a considerable margin. Get this, an 11-point favorite as they host number 8 Spartans at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, according to VegasInsider.com. Now, the line drew reaction from a few national analysts, including Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, saying, quote, "The Spartans love that kind of stuff," end quote. Now, Oregon has not lost at home since 2012 when number 14 Stanford handed the Ducks their lone loss of the season, 17-14 in overtime. So I'm sure that margin of victory has certainly got the Spartans foaming at the mouths. And again, they love that chip on the shoulders type of stuff. So we'll dive into that as many people. Again, Vegas, 11-point favorites. Oregon are 11-point favorites to beat the Spartans this weekend. Interesting stuff there. All right, and four members of Michigan State's Rose Bowl team have rejoined their respective NFL clubs via practice squad. That's according to the NFL Roundup on Monday. Now, middle linebacker Max Bulla is back with Houston after a strong offseason of camps and playing well in preseason games. Offensive lineman Dan France is in with Cincinnati. Offensive and defensive lineman Tyler Hoover is back with the Indianapolis Colts. And receiver Benny Fowler is on Denver's practice squad. Now, all four, were among those cut on Saturday as teams reduced their roster sizes. The other two Michigan State football rookies with teams are first-round NFL draft pick Darquez Dennard on Cincinnati and offensive lineman Foe Finote, who is on injured reserve with the San Francisco 49ers. All right, the St. Louis Rams, they announced their 10-man practice squad on Monday afternoon. And get this, defensive end Michael Sam is not a part of it. Now, after releasing Sam on Saturday, Rams coach Jeff Fisher suggested that a lack of bodies at positions with little depth could leave Sam on the outside looking in when the team added its practice squad. Now, the team's practice squad consists of former Spartan dog Denikos Allen, receiver Emery Blake, safety Christian Bryant, defensive tackle Matt Conthrith, safety Matt Daniels, quarterback Garrett Gilbert, offensive tackle Sean Hooney, linebacker Kevin Reddick, receiver Justin Ventung, and guard Brandon Washington. Now, so we'll see how that pans out for Michael Sam. So right now, he is not a part of any active roster or a part of any practice squad. All right, the Tigers, David Price, they bounce back. The Tigers bounce back from an alarming start. And Miguel Cabrera homered twice, hitting one of Detroit's three homers off Cleveland's Corey Kluber. As the Tigers rolled to a 12-1 win on Monday to slow down the Indians' climb in the standings. Now, Price gave up one run and 8 hits in 7 innings. More of a typical performance by the left-hander. Then, what happened last week when he allowed 9 consecutive hits to New York in 1 inning and 8 runs over 2. Now, the Tigers are currently a half game back of the Kansas City Royals in the AL Central. Game 2 of the 4-game road series takes place tonight at 7:05 p.m. Kyle Lobstein takes the mound for Detroit. And Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander and girlfriend Kate Upton, oh boy, I tell you what, they were a part of celebrity victims of a nude pitcher scandal that went live on August 31st. How about that? Now, online hackers posted nude and racy pictures of countless celebrities, among the likes of Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, Scarlett Johansson, and a ton more. Verlander and Upton were a part of that bunch. Verlander has not yet commented on the photo leak, and the FBI is investigating the matter. How about that? And I also read a report that Kate Upton may be filing some charges very, very soon. So we'll see how that one pans out. And after his demotion on the second string Lions defensive tackle, Nick Fairley hired a personal chef to help him trim weight. Now, the chef prepares his meals and puts them in the freezer. Fairly begins them in a bagged lunch to camp and eats his dinner at home. Very specific report here. Fairly is now back to 305 pounds from his initial 320 at the start of camp, and the team will start him against the Giants next Monday. Of course, Fairley was bumped down to the Lions' second string due to some eating habit problems that that Jim Caldwell and the coaching staff were not fine to. So we'll see how that one pans out now. And how about this contract, folks? Star defensive end J.J. Watt has agreed to a six-year, $100 million contract extension with the Houston Texans. Now, the deal includes $51.876 million of guaranteed money, which makes Watt the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. How about that? Now, Watt, who was taken by the Texans in the first round of the 2011 NFL draft, is a two-time Pro Bowler and a two-time first team All-Pro. He was named to the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year after a 2012 season that included a league best 20 and a half sacks, and he has started all 48 games during his 3 years in the NFL. A hefty contract there. And finally, in the U.S. Open, Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, and Wawrinka all moved on the men's side. However, fourth-seeded David Ferrer was beat by Frenchman Gilles Simon 3-1. Now, on the women's side, Maria Sharapova was upset by Caroline Wozniacki in 3 sets to reach the quarterfinals. Number one, Serena Williams, moves on and is still undefeated. Interesting U.S. Open action. And also, Roger Federer, I believe, plays tonight, folks. So many people will be flocking to their TVs for that one. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, yeah, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me. That's right. Send me a tweet at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, a ton to talk about here on today's Current Sports. I also, before we dive into today's show, I also want to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Yes, we are moving from our morning time of 10 a.m., which we had throughout the entire summer. Well, it's September now. The kids are back on campus. Everybody's getting back to school. And we are moving our time from 10 a.m. back to our original time of 6 p.m. And tomorrow night, I'll be sitting down with Kathy George, who is the head women's volleyball coach. Of course, if you tuned into Current Sports last week, you all saw me, you know, break a sweat or two or three out at Spirit Time in Lansing. Spirit Time, of course, is a bowling alley that has these really, really cool volleyball courts right outside of the facility. The MSU volleyball team, they held their second annual media day there, in which the media members like myself, we went out there and were taught how to bump, set, spike, along with so much more. We just really taught the game of volleyball. Again, that was on last week's Current Sports. So now we bring Kathy to the TV realm as my premier guest on tomorrow night's show. You do not want to miss it. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience tomorrow night at the WKAR-TV studios right here inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building at Michigan State University, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. All right, folks, well, let's dive into it. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, and they will be open throughout this entire hour. That number to call is 517-355-9527. 9527, 517-355-9527. A ton to get to, folks. And of course, if you tune into yesterday's Current Sports during the holiday weekend, you know that we had our Best of Current Sports, and we took a look at some of the more notable interviews that we've had throughout throughout the past few weeks here on the show. So we really didn't get to dive into, of course, the MSU football matchup that, you know, Jacksonville State throughout this this past weekend. It was a really you know, it was just nice to see football back in action. Of course, college football was on the center stage of sports throughout this entire weekend. Many people from around Michigan, you guys going out to attend, of course, that opening night game for Michigan State and Jacksonville State. I believe it was a crowd of about 75,000 people down at Spartan Stadium. It was certainly packed to the brim. Student section filled up all the way to the top of the brim at Spartan Stadium. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous evening for football. And MSU handled business, folks. They certainly handled business. Just a complete trounce of Jacksonville State, something that many people expected. Many people expected MSU to go in there and handle business, and that's certainly what they did. Looking at the offense, Connor Cook, of course, he got started early with two touchdown passes to Tony Lippett. Tony Lippett looked good. The offense looked to be very fluid. Many people held their breaths, though, as on that first touchdown pass, or in that first sequence, of course, Connor Cook got hit and hyperextended his knee. Turned out it was nothing serious. He didn't have to go out of the game or anything like that. But, hey, the offense seemed to be flowing. The defense made some key stops. How about, you know, guys like, you know, Tywin Jones, who, of course, starts at the mic now at that middle linebacker spot, replacing Max Bulla, who was, of course, the unprecedented leader of last year's top-ranked MSU defense. He looked great. I mean, it was really hard to really nitpick at this MSU football team for things that they didn't do, I guess you could say, on last Friday night. But, you know, it was a great game nonetheless. Again, just good to see football back in action. I want to get your thoughts now, because this week is a huge matchup. Because, you know, you see a lot of teams in college football, they start off their season. I mean, let's look at Michigan. They start their season against Appalachian State. Lollipop teams is what I call them. You know, just to start the season off on a high note, so you play a team, a non-conference game that, you know, against a team who, of course, isn't a part of the upper echelon of college sports. And, you know, just to try to get your feet moving, you know, get back in the swing of things. And that's certainly what this game was this past weekend against Jacksonville State, a chance for MSU to sort of fine-tune some things, get some backups in, to just run the offense and get comfortable with it. Again, it was a trounce, a complete trounce of Jacksonville State. But how much can you tell from a trounce against a team like Jacksonville State? This week now is a true test of, you know, an early litmus test to see where this Spartan squad now lies. Because you play an Oregon team, which every single year is a part of the top echelon in college sports. Every year, Oregon is up there. Right now, I believe, looking at the two polls, the AP coaches poll, and, you know, looking at the two polls right now, they're ranked third in the entire nation, ladies and gents. Of course, when you face a quarterback like a Marcus Mariota, who is on many people's Heisman watch, you know, you sit back and you wonder just exactly if this MSU team can hang with the big dogs now. And, of course, with the playoff now, this being the first year of the college football playoff, Michigan State, in my opinion, this is my humble opinion. Again, if you disagree with it or have a different take on it, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But my take on this is, if Michigan State, which in many people's eyes out there, when looking at the Big Ten, they are the choice now. They are the favorite, possibly, to come out of the Big Ten Conference and possibly make that four-team playoff, which is newly enacted this year. If Michigan State is going to make that playoff, they have to have a good outing against Oregon. And what I mean by that is, Michigan State can't go to Eugene this weekend and get completely blown out. That cannot happen. Cannot happen at all. It would not bode well in the eyes of the college football committee if Michigan State is, you know, on their record, if it's looked at, you know, as a, you know, a 35-14 win for Oregon here. That can't happen here. Michigan State has to have a good showing this weekend. Now, again, I believe that they can lose this game. And they're, again, you know, looking at our Quicken headliners, they are projected to lose this game. Oregon, again, Vegas Insider has Oregon as an 11-point favorite for this week's matchup. 11-point favorite, folks. So, you know, many people are expecting Michigan State to lose. But if Michigan State wants to, again, make that 14 playoff, they can still lose, but they have to make it close, ladies and gents. I think looking at a prediction here, because, you know, the numbers are so alarming. If you paired them up, looking at Oregon, an Oregon team who faces a top-tier defense, as opposed to an Oregon team who faces, you know, an average defense. If you look at the numbers, I mean, they are certainly alarming. I was sitting back on Labor Day weekend yesterday watching just a preseason report of just many guys just kind of analyzed the Michigan State and Ducks matchup this weekend. And they brought up a stat that shows just the average points per game that an Oregon team puts up against a top 10 defense. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a 15-point differential here from Oregon just playing, you know, an average defense as opposed to a top 10 defense, which Michigan State surely was and possibly is this year. So, you know, I think it's going to be a grind out type of game. I think it's going to be a close game. But hey, folks, I'm still choosing Oregon to pull this one out. But I think Michigan State has a good showing, though. And I think that's key when you look at this matchup. So, again, I want to get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen in Eugene, Oregon, this weekend. I think it's going to be a close one. Michigan State falls in a close one. Again, they cannot get blown out and expect to make some noise and to make a good case for them to make the playoff once the season ends. And I don't think that's going to happen. D'Antonio is going to bring it. They're going to lay it all out. And it's going to be a solid game. And I want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's face it, it's good. And I asked Antonio this past weekend at the presser, you know, it's always good to have that sort of momentum to start the year. You know, a win like they got over Jacksonville State this weekend is how you want to start your season. Michigan State is expected now, if they want to be looked at as, you know, one of the elite in the nation, they are expected to blow teams out like Jacksonville State. That was supposed to happen. And again, you know, a blowout like that looks good on that resume if, you know, once the season ends and they want to make a case for making that playoffs. So that was supposed to happen. That momentum now is something that you can't get too high on. Looking at it, you know, it's a win against Jacksonville State. That's fine. You got to put it in the back of you now and look forward now to facing a team that if you come, you know, and if you take this team for granted or kind of have a mind of complacency on Saturday, they're certainly a team that can bite you, and that cannot happen, folks. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. We have an interesting Top 5 Tuesday for you, folks. Again, the top five guarantees from the MSU Oregon game this weekend. We want to get to that, folks. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, we're playing profit here. We don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. We can only sit on here and debate. That's what Talk Sports Radio is all about, folks. So we're going to kind of give you what we think. You know, these are the things that you can guarantee that will happen this Saturday. All right. So you want to stick around for that and so much more. Let's hit our first break. A lot more current sports is coming right at you, folks. All right, folks. Well, this is a tough Tuesday. A tough, tough Tuesday coming back. We're having some technical difficulties here, of course. But hey, welcome back to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. We're trying to get things figured out. Of course, it's the day after the holiday. Everything's kind of chaos here at WKR right now. But hey, the show must go on, folks. Again, the number to call if you want to weigh in on anything here on the show, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, interesting stuff also this weekend. If any of you caught the Michigan game, Michigan looked pretty good, I must say. Now, again, you got to take it with a big bag of salt because, of course, they were playing the team that certainly doomed them back in 2007. Many people call that game the horror when Michigan, of course, opened their season against Appalachian State, and Appalachian State came up with one of the biggest college football upsets in sports history. But you know that this was certainly not the case this past weekend, as Michigan just kind of showed that we're a totally different squad than we were in 2007. Okay, looking at that game though, I thought Devin Gardner, he had a very, very solid outing for him once he got comfortable after the game moved on. And how about Devin Funchess? You know, it was kind of the story of the Devins over the weekend. I mean, Devin Funchess, I mean, he's making a case that he is certainly one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten, if not the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. He looks solid. I mean, and you know, looking at that Michigan defense, of course, many of the speculation and many of the question marks coming into this year had to do with that Michigan offensive line. That offensive line was horrid last year. Terrible, terrible offensive line. I mean, looking at the Michigan-Michigan State game, of course, going to a flashback in that game, you know, we all bring up this, and you know, in Spartyville here, the negative 48 rushing yards that Michigan had against Michigan State last season. I mean, that offensive line was so porous, it was so weak, and that's one of those things that many people, you know, including myself, wanted to see, you know, and sort of evaluate looking at the Appalachian State game. Now, again, it's against Appalachian State, but there's certain things you can take away from a game against, you know, a non-top-tier opponent, and one of those things is effort. I saw a lot of effort from that offensive line. I mean, looking at the push that some of those plays got from Michigan, I mean, that offensive line created a lot of holes for guys to work. It was certainly remarkable looking at it. I mean, they looked solid, folks. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, this Michigan team is a team that's going to, you know, it's going to be unbelievable this season. But I'm saying, looking at that game, this Michigan team looks like a team that has a renewed mindset nonetheless. Again, the offensive line, they got a lot of push, you know, from that offensive, that defensive line of Appalachian State. They opened up a lot of holes, a lot of room to work with. They looked very, very, very solid. Now, again, you know, take it with a grain of salt, if you will, but Michigan does look like they are a new team this season. So, you know, moving forward now, you know, I want to get your thoughts on what do you think the question marks for this team will be. And actually, you know, looking at my Twitter page here, I do have a tweet here from, let's see who this tweet is from, Coach Stumper. Coach Stumper says, "I really liked how Michigan came out this past weekend, but again, how much can you weigh on with this matchup being against Appalachian State?" End quote. So again, thanks a lot, Coach Stump, for weighing in. Yeah, again, you know, it's kind of hard to judge at the beginning of the year. You know, even some of the national teams who, you know, got big wins over the weekend, it's sort of, you know, hard to tell because, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, we saw throughout the course of a season, things can change so much. I mean, a team can look totally different at the beginning of the year from how they look at the end of the year. But I'm saying, going on what we know, going on what we just saw this past weekend, Michigan looked good. They looked good, you know, and you know, we'll get to see as the season moves on for them exactly how much we can harp on that. But, you know, it was pretty much a flawless weekend for them. So, again, we'll see how things pan out, though. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, folks. And also, just really quickly, you know, going back to our headliners here, I want to bring this up. Of course, there were a few cuts that were made this past weekend. Of course, as many NFL teams now are trimming their respective rosters, trying to get, trying to hit that 53-man roster limit. And four members of the Michigan State's Rose Bowl team, they have rejoined their respective NFL clubs via practice squad. Again, that's according to NFL.com. Their roundup on Monday. Middle linebacker Max Bulla, he is back with Houston on the practice squad after a strong offseason of camps and playing well in preseason games. Offensive lineman Dan France is also, he's with Cincinnati. Offensive and defensive lineman Tyler Hoover, he is back with the Indianapolis Colts. And receiver Benny Fowler is on Denver's practice squad. So all of those guys are on the practice squad. Really surprising to me because I thought Max Bulla was certainly made the 53-man roster cut with the Texans. But, you know, that's what I say with the NFL. The NFL is so cutthroat. You never know. I mean, you can come in as a highly talented draft pick, but, you know, you still got to go through camp. And that's the thing about the NFL. It's not like the NBA or any other sport where when you're drafted, you pretty much have a solidified spot on the team. preseason training camp holds a lot of weight in the NFL. And you have to go in there and you have to prove to the coaches that you not only, you know, were a highly touted, you know, college football player, but you have to prove to them that your style of play can resonate and can flow evidently into the NFL game. So really surprising news. I think Max Abula will make a roster, but he is on the practice squad again with Dan France, Tyler Hoover, and Benny Fowler. And again, all four of those players, they were among those cut on Saturday as teams, again, reduced their roster sizes. Again, the NFL season starts this weekend. We're going to see how things pan out. But again, guys who have definitely had solidified spots. I guess you can look at the top corner in all of the nation last year. Darqueze Dennard, he has a solidified spot on the Cincinnati Bengals. Michigan football rookies, of course, it's really interesting when you look at it because there was so much, you know, he say, she say with Michigan State players coming out and to see if they can make those rosters. Again, offensive lineman Fofanoci, he's another one of those who is on injured reserve with San Francisco but is still a part of the roster. So really some surprising names on that list, folks. All right, well, let's try to jump to a break here. When we come back, we have a lot more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. All right, welcome back to Current Sports, folks. I am your host, Al Martin, reminding you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow evening, I should say, at 6 p.m. I will be sitting down with the head coach of the MSU women's volleyball team, Kathy George. You don't want to miss that episode. We'll also bring you highlights from the Michigan State and Jacksonville State game. You also get to see some high school football between St. John's and, of course, East Lansing. I was out at that game and actually did play-by-play. My first time doing play-by-play, football play-by-play, with Eric Doc Love, of course, for Big Country 92.1. That was a fun time. And really a game that, you know, brought about, you know, some it's something I thought, but I didn't really know because, of course, the season hadn't started. And we how much can you tell in preseason camp and actually not even seeing a legit game unless you've been out to a scrimmage or two? But I thought, you know, East Lansing would certainly put up more of a fight than they did last week, Thursday night against St. John's. But St. John's, they just have a really good team this year, a team with about four running backs. Four guys in the backfield that can punish you. It was fun watching them play. I tell you, you know, East Lansing, you know, they certainly have a few players that can turn some heads, especially Kentre Patterson, who's a right receiver for East Lansing. He looked pretty good. Just a fun time being out there. I'm just so glad that high school football is back because, again, I say, you know, I've been a sports reporter in this area now going on for about, 3 years now. And I tell you what, there is nothing like high school football here in mid-Michigan and just high school sports in general. So, again, you'll get to see highlights from that game on tomorrow night's, during tomorrow night's taping and so much more, folks. Again, Current Sports TV with guest Kathy George. You don't want to miss that, folks. That'll be tomorrow night. Again, be a part of that live studio audience by going to WKAR.org. I believe we have a caller right now. Apache, my man, is online. One, how you doing, Apache?
I'm doing okay, man. I've been resurrected. Coming out of hibernation, man. Football season.
That's right. That's right, man. It's the best time of the year.
It is. Big Ten's looking good. I'm a Michigan fan, but I want to see Green win this weekend. We got to look good, man. Big Ten's been embarrassing the last couple years. But this new coach that they got over there at Oregon, is he from the staff of the guy who went pro?
I'm not sure. We have to. I'll put our intern on that exactly. I'm not exactly sure about you.
Because they would run a lot like a spread and a hurry-up offense. Mm-hmm. And my understanding from what I'm hearing from you guys is that MSU's still got some great players, great coaching, of course, but they might not have the depth. In other words, they're going to try to run Michigan State ragged to catch up with them or beat them in the later round or the later phases of the game. And that's the thing I would be concerned about because they can run.
Right.
And there might be some problems later on late in the game. And they may break a few on it because they got a lot of running backs, man. That's an incredible program. They're very, very exciting to watch. And that quarterback can throw or run, so it is going to tell a lot about Michigan State.
Right, exactly.
Good luck, Green.
Yeah, I tell you, it's going to be a good one, Apache. And you know, when you look at this matchup, too, this past weekend against Jacksonville State, one of the biggest reasons that, you know, this game was scheduled on the, of course, the week eve of the Oregon game was that if you look at the offense that Jacksonville State runs, it's pretty similar. You know, it's not exactly an exact clone of Oregon, but it's very, very similar to how Oregon likes to play. I mean, if you looked at Jacksonville State, they love to spread things out. They love to, you know, put guys down the field. They love to run the ball. It's really fast paced. This was supposed to be a dress rehearsal for Oregon. Now, again, against Jacksonville State and Oregon, that's a bit of a talent differential there, but that's what was supposed to be this past weekend about you. So I don't know how much heart we can put on that, though.
Well, really, because you got these athletes you got are incredible. Incredible, man, you know.
Right.
They're much, much better athletes than what Jacksonville come up with. So I think, in a sense, it can be a teaching point, but we'll see, man. It's kind of scary, kind of exciting. It's that and the Notre Dame game, man, I'm looking forward to. So go Big Ten.
Well, there we have it. Yes.
Talk to you guys Monday, man.
Definitely. Hey, thanks a lot, Apache. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, definitely. So, it's going to be a good one, folks. I think, you know, this game is what everybody, I mean, nationally, too, on the national spotlight, because there are a lot of people out there that feel as though, you know, if Oregon doesn't come correct, you know, Michigan State, you know, could possibly come out with a win on this one. And I could certainly see that. I just something's making me lean towards Oregon, man. I feel it's going to be a close one. It's going to definitely come down to the wire. So, definitely, if you want to just weigh in like, you know, Apache just did, you know, number 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at Al Martin WKR. Alex, how you doing? We haven't heard from you all show, man. You've been running frantic behind the glass. I've been trying to hold it down, man. What's going on?
You know what? I think the Oregon Ducks are tampering with our software here.
Goodness.
I think they know that we're coming and talking about them, and I think Marcus Mariota came here last night on a spy mission.
Maybe. Just rigging everything.
He's because, you know, he wants the crowd to be a lot louder. So I think, you know, he's sending a message saying, State fans, be quiet. You know, something along those lines is what I expect.
Well, something's going on.
You know what? We're all back and running now. And you know what? How about that Jacksonville game, though, this weekend? And we do have some bites if you want to preview what's going on with Oregon with what happened last week.
Yeah, definitely. Well, of course, we were Current Sports was there. And again, you can see highlights of that during this week's Current Sports. But, you know, we talked to a few of the players after the game, of course, including Coach Mark D'Antonio, as he came to the podium, defensive coordinators, you know, Pat Narduzzi and Dave Warner. But in this particular bracket, you're going to hear from running backs Nick Hill, who had one run. If you saw that run from Nick Hill, I mean, it looked like something out of a video game. So you'll get to hear from Nick Hill, you know, guys like A.J. Troop. Mark D'Antonio also talks. Shalik Calhoun, defensive end for Michigan State. So all those guys, you know, just talk about, you know, their initial thoughts after the game and the preparation for Oregon.
D'Antonio just took the podium and talked about coming out fast, getting, you know, starting off to a fast start for you guys. You guys certainly came out to a roaring start to start this one. How important is that? And that's something, do you think that's something we're going to see throughout the season?
Absolutely. I think that is important to get, you know, a fast start, especially in an opener. Last year we didn't do that. Last year we had a slow start, and it, you know, obviously we caught our second win, caught our stride towards the end of the season. But I think that this year, you know, we got a tough game against Oregon, but we can't overlook, you know, Jacksonville State. So we wanted to come out here and make a statement and be able to come out fast, scoring. And I think we did that on all cylinders. We didn't run the ball very, you know, at the best that we could, you know, and obviously we've done in the past. But I think that we threw the ball very, very well. I think that our receivers did a great job. Our quarterback, Connor Cook, did a great job making adjustments and exposing the defense when we brought, you know, different type of blitzes and getting rid of the ball quickly. But I thought that we did play extremely well, and I think it's going to carry us over into Oregon.
Nick, I tell you what, you had a run that looked like I was playing Madden 2015, okay? I mean, juke, button, circle, R1. I mean, talk about how comfortable you fit out there. And, hey, 565 yards of total offense. Is that something we're going to see throughout the year?
I think it is. I think that we got a lot of playmakers across the board. We have a lot of great depth, you know, our running back position between Jeremy, myself, Delton, and obviously Gerald Holmes did a great job in the game today. I was very proud of him. But our receivers making plays, Tony Lippes, you know, obviously had those two big runs, two big touchdowns back-to-back. A.J. Troop, you know, I was extremely happy for him getting in there and making his first touchdown, first touch of his, I think, college career in a game. So, you know, I was very excited for him. But I think that our offensive line does a great job blocking. Our quarterbacks make great decisions, whoever's in there, and our running backs run the ball hard. So I think that this is a very explosive offense, and it's going to carry over into, you know, Oregon, hopefully games after that, and, you know, take it one game at a right time.
If this is a dress rehearsal for Oregon next week, I mean, you guys got to be wearing tuxes right now, right? I mean, where's the confidence level after a game like this?
I mean, obviously the amount of points that we put up in the first game, we feel good right now. Obviously, we've got to be strong in the running game. But the offense got the ball rolling. Hopefully, we can carry that over until next week.
How important is it not to get too high off a win like this?
Oh, never. I mean, obviously, looking at Jacksonville State, they're a great team. They have athletic guys. But obviously, just take one game at a time. We know what we have ahead of us with Oregon and whatnot. But you got to take it one game at a time. And we'll look at that. And when we come back on Sunday, we'll check out the film.
Coach D sort of mentioned, you know, you guys coming out to a fast start, getting on the board early to start to begin to, you know, just to gain some momentum at the start of the game. I mean, how important is that for you guys to come out the gates roaring?
Oh, it was huge. I mean, we kind of trying to emphasize how important it was, and the fact that Libet kind of got the ball rolling for us, and Connor and Tony, you know, connected early. That kind of got the ball rolling for us. So it was huge.
So Shilly, do you feel like this was an accurate dress rehearsal for next week in Oregon?
I'm not sure because, you know, Oregon can run a whole totally different system, or they could be faster, they could be slower. So this was a test for our defense, you know, for us to, you know, get better, you know, this week and, you know, strengthen a lot of positions, strengthen a lot of, you know, technique stuff. I think that we go through a grind each and every year, you know, as football players, and, you know, we're not dying, but it may feel like that, you know, out there at camp and through winter conditioning, you know, and through spring ball, it may feel like, you know, things are just starting to weigh on you. So I came up with, you know, Spartan Dog District. It was just something simple, but it's something that all the guys can relate to, you know, everyone would understand, and, you know, everyone took it on. They kind of, you know, laughed at it, and they're like, you know what, yeah, that is us, you know. So Coach D said this was a statement game, and I feel like that's what it was. You know, it's kind of we were you know, saying who we were by our play today. You know, it doesn't matter who we play, we're gonna come out fast, we're gonna come out hard, and we're gonna swarm to the ball, and I believe that, you know, we did a very good job of that today. You know, just making a statement that the Spartan, you know, Spartan Dog District is here to stay. You know, we're not dropping off like flies.
We're surviving.
Mark, over here, can you talk about how a performance like this really, you know, ideally sets the tone for the rest of the season?
Well, it's only the first game. I think you have to play things out. You know, we've got a big contest next week. Everybody in here understands that. We'll talk about that later. But you know, it's the first game. But it's out of the box, because we were able to play a lot of players, we will be able to see what those players were able to do, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I felt, where we have some untested guys. So we pretty much played our twos in their secondary and on the perimeter a lot in the second half. And we got everybody in. So we played five defensive tackles. I think we played seven linebackers. I think we played, would be nine, 11 defensive backs. So we played a lot of people on defense. And you're going to make some mistakes when that happens. But, you know, that's how you get better. There is no substitute for game experience. And so some of those guys, like Demetrius Cox, played a lot for the first time. You saw Monte Nicholson in there playing, and Mark Myers, and, you know, Jermaine Edmondson and Arjun Calhoun. So those guys right at the top of my head are guys that really needed the experience, and that was a positive to see. So, but, you know, we move on. We got to get better as a football team. That's the thing that I think you want to do every single game is try and get better.
All right, again, that was Coach D'Antonio, A.J. Troop, wide receiver for Michigan State, along with defensive end Shalee Calhoun and running back Nick Hill, addressing that 45-7 victory over Jacksonville State on Friday night. Very level-headed comments, comments that, you know, I guess you can say coach and player talk that you're supposed to have after a win like that. You know, you don't want to get too high off, you know, a win like that against an opponent like Jacksonville State. You know, but no, now approaching this weekend against Oregon now, this is going to really show exactly where this team is. And again, you know, again, like I told Apache, I mean, this is supposed to be a, you know, that game against Jacksonville State, Alex, was supposed to be, in many ways, a dress rehearsal for Michigan State to see, you know, kind of get an early test as to an or an early preview as to the offense and type of style of play that Oregon runs. Jacksonville State is the same way. I mean, we saw it a few times. They love to hurry their offense up. They love to spread guys out, send them down the field. That's exactly how Oregon plays. But again, there's a little bit of a talent differential there.
A lot of PA rollouts is what I really took away, and that's something that Marcus Mariota is a way better quarterback than Jacksonville State's. That's something he's going to be exploiting tremendously. Now, with this game, it definitely helps that Wisconsin lost to LSU, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but for me, Wisconsin, if they got past LSU, they had a really good chance to run the table to make it to the college football playoff. Now, really, Michigan State can lose against Oregon and possibly still make the playoff, granted that Ohio State maybe loses a game and Michigan loses a game. But I think you're right. It is a dress rehearsal. The tuxedos are flying high now. And you know what? This game against Oregon, it's going to be a test, not just for the defense, but when finally Connor Cook and the offense are facing way better competition this time around. And that's another thing I took out was, as much as Lippitt, you know, had 150, 60 yards, Cook had the four touchdowns, and the offense was rolling on all cylinders, it still was against Jacksonville State. So, you know, the real test of this weekend.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, with that Wisconsin loss to LSU, the thing about Wisconsin, they make that game very competitive. I mean, it was a four-point win. It was 28-24 in that game. Wisconsin made it competitive. That's something that, you know, you want to see MSU do against Oregon. You want to see them just compete and make it close. But I believe if MSU comes into this and makes it close and loses, hey, they still got a shot at that playoff, without a doubt. But they can't get blown out here. That's the biggest thing I want to hammer home. Michigan State cannot, if they want to make this playoff, they cannot go into Oregon and get blown out. That's the key here that I'm going to be looking at this weekend. But, you know, great outings, though. How about A.J. Troop? He looked great. Connor Cook's confidence is certainly sailing through the roof. I mean, he made some throws that certainly just turn your head, a few of them. But if anything, though, Alex, if I did have some question marks there, I would certainly like to see a stronger outing, if you will, from the running backs. I think the running game maybe needs a little work. I didn't see a lot of offensive explosion other than Nick Hill's touchdown from the running backs collectively. Not much from Langford and the other guys. So, if anything, I want to see MSU put it on the ground more against Oregon, because I think they can certainly pound that Oregon defense and open up some things, because I didn't see them. They didn't impress me, I guess you can say, against Jacksonville State. And a lot of that had to do with MSU finding success through the air. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess you can say as well.
Yeah, now one other aspect is from the game this weekend is we saw a lot of guys get in the game. I mean, we saw all three quarterbacks get in. We saw a bunch of different running backs. We saw Delton, Nick Hill. We saw Langford. So you got a chance to see every single guy up on those depth charts.
Right.
Is there anyone that you saw that made a move going into this Oregon game that you think is going to get a lot more reps this week?
That's a very, very good question. That's a good question, man, because looking at the starters, I really liked how the starters played in this one. I don't think anybody played, you know, maybe Nick Hill. I mean, I think deservedly so, too. I think Nick Hill kind of turned some heads and showed that, hey, you know, he's a back that has gotten better each and every year. He's a back that can create things. He loves to run north-south, but he can also go east-west on you a little bit, too.
Right.
Nick Hill is a guy, I think, in that running game, we could possibly see some more looks from. Because I don't think, you know, I didn't see too much from Langford this past weekend.
I think you have to hold the bell on Nick Hill.
I think get him some reps.
Just because you haven't seen him against bigger D1A opponents. I mean, you saw a DAA opponent.
Yeah,
you haven't seen him against 6 foot, 6 foot one heavy linebackers that weigh 250.
Exactly. But in order to test that out, you got to give him a shot, though, right? I think he's deserved.
Sure.
He deserves a shot.
I'm not ready to throw my cards in and say Nick Hill is going to get more reps.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm just saying, you said who you think is going to get more playing time. I think we'll see Nick Hill get some more playing time and get some top tier talent to see if he can do that against an Oregon type team. But, you know, as far as, you know, like I said, the starters played. I mean, they played relatively flawless throughout this weekend, you know, without a doubt. So I don't think anybody, you know, played to lose their job this past weekend. But we'll see. Again, folks, you can weigh in on anything we talk about here on Current Sports, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on anything that's going on in the sports world. I believe we have Mike from Saginaw that wants to talk a little USA basketball. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, my man? I just was going to ask you, if USA basketball is a vehicle for people like Kyrie Irving and James Harden and DeMar DeRozan to show how good they really are, because all I see is the B team for the Olympic teams that's coming up in 2016. But I see that the way they plan and everything, is the level of competition is now challenging them. What do you think?
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for the call. And that's a good point, too. And, you know, when you talk about USA basketball in any regard, whether it be FIBA or the Summer Olympics, you know, looking at, I do believe this, you know, looking at back in the day when you had the Dream Team, which many people consider to be the greatest basketball team of all time with guys like Jordan, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, John Stockton. I mean, I could go on and on and on about that team. I mean, they were blowing people out by an average about like 40 or 50 points a game. I mean, there was no international competition at all. I will say, Mike, that now there are a lot of, you know, just looking at how the game has transcended internationally, I mean, you're starting to see teams like, you know, Argentina and Brazil, teams like those type of teams have come on. And we've seen in the FIBA championships not too long ago where the USA team struggled. They actually won the silver medal. They didn't even win gold, the first time that's ever happened. Now, again, it's still early in the competition. Of course, USA team, they had a game today in which, you know, they completely blew out New Zealand. Now, New Zealand is not known as a basketball powerhouse by any means. I can't even name a New Zealander who has come to the NBA and had any type of success. But I think as you start to see the rounds continue on and the competition step up a little bit, the teams like, again, the Argentinas, the Brazilians, you know, the Germany, those type of teams, they usually bring it every year and have brought it for quite some time now. I think teams have gotten better internationally. I still believe that the USA is still, of course, the premier nation for basketball. We have the best basketball players in the entire world. USA will win the gold, and I just think, you know, looking at, you know, I know it's early, and we've seen countless blowouts so far, and they've just started competition play. We saw a lot of blowouts during exhibition play. But you will see the competition heighten as we go forth. You're going to see some close game, Mike, so certainly stay glued to your TV. I think it's still early. What do you think on that, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's still early in, you know, with Team USA. I mean, like we saw when Carlos Arroyo, like, almost single-handedly destroyed the team in the FIBA competition. I mean, you can say that now, but there could be some guy in the NBA that's playing for his team that can totally just show up and just manhandle the entire USA basketball team.
And we've seen it happen before. Yeah. Always, you know, going back, I mean, there's been so many, like you bring up Carlos Arroyo, that was a good one. You know, there's been many. I mean, looking at it, they won the silver back in the day. I'm trying to remember the player to play for the Pistons. Who just went off on the
was it Delfino?
Carlos Delfino. Yeah. That's who I'm thinking about. Yeah, Carlos Delfino had a huge outing. I mean, he had like 30-something points against the USA. So, Mike, you know, to answer your question, it's still early. I know they blew out New Zealand by about, you know, 30-plus points. You know, none of New Zealand starters even reached double digits. All of USA starters reached double digits. Guys like Anthony Davis, Kenneth Faried, James Harden, Steph Curry, and Kyrie Irving all had at least 12, 15 points, with Anthony Davis going off for 21. So I it's still early. You're going to see the competition certainly heighten. Just stay glued and stay buckled up. I think the USA, I think they could even lose a game this year, especially because they didn't bring back the amount of talent they were hoping to have on this team when you had a guy like Kevin Durant refusing to even play. So,
but wouldn't that be
Rudy Gay?
Yeah, I like Rudy Gay a lot too. You know, Rudy Gay, yep. You know, even though he didn't have – Rudy Gay, I mean, he had, what, 2 points, I think, in that New Zealand game. He didn't get much playing time. I think, to be honest, they really didn't need Rudy Gay in that game.
Because I just look at how the team is playing and everything. I know we have the best coaches and the way we pick our talent and everything is above a lot of nations, but I'm looking here. I say the NBA always talk about all the foreign players they getting in the league and everything, but most of the foreign players I see, they seem so mechanical, or they just good jump shots. They don't seem like they athletic. Well, Dirk Nowitzki got a great jump shot, but
I'm mad to disagree. I mean, look at guys like, you know, Manu Ginobili. I mean, look at the champs from this year. I mean, Manu Ginobili and, you know, a guy like Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. I mean, all those guys are from France and you know, Argentina. I mean, those guys are international players, and they just won a championship, Mike.
But like, I'm looking at these guys, like, they 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet. They still mechanical around the basket. They get the ball in there. They have one or two moves, and it's just like the United States. We just caught up defensively. We always been there defensively, but our big men is like they more athletic and they can do more things. Like they can run the floor. Now they running the floor. They blocking shots. They running the break and everything. It's just like our skill level. Our big guys is really more, as always, more skilled. It's just like the development of our big guys are getting much better than it was years ago.
Yeah, and I can certainly see that. There's no question that the players here in the States are certainly more athletically gifted than in other parts of the world. I mean, just looking at some of the plays that are made, the dunks and the numbers at the combine. I mean, they're certainly off the charts. But the thing that I respect about so many players internationally that I've seen come to the NBA and have success is that they're so fundamentally sound. And that's something when you don't have the, when you can't jump, 8 feet in the air and slam an alley-oop down, you rely on your fundamentals more so than that player does, and you become more fine-tuned with the fundamentals of the game. And that's why we've seen, a team, again, like the Spurs, Mike, who are composed, of about, 50% or more of international players have success in the league,
That's the thing about, here's a good analogy. Years ago, the United States team would have been like the Philadelphia 76ers with George McGinnis and Dr. J, and before they had Moses Malone there and Dale Dawson, and the Portland Trailblazers. That would have been like a big international team, but we got so much better now. We don't have a player like Bill Walton or a power forward like Maurice Lucas, but the basketball we play in this country is evolving. Years ago, we probably would have had a couple of guys who would have been, couldn't play in a system or a program. But we got all of our players now, they system players, they program players or whatever. And the ones who don't do it, they eliminate themselves before they even get to that level. You understand where I'm coming from now?
Right. I definitely see that. So you think the players have now become better over time? Do you think that the international players have become better over time?
Yeah, I see a lot of growth in their games, too, because
I think they're better than they were back in the day.
Yeah, but the coaches went overseas, and they taught them how to be better ball handlers, be able to pass on screens, and, they know how to set screens much better. They know how to throw the ball over to where the open man is. They learned a lot of basketball from also watching American basketball on TV.
Exactly. The game is definitely more exposed, especially on the international level. Great points, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it, too, there. You have a good one, man.
You, too. Thanks a lot, Mike. Mike, he brings up some good points, but I definitely, have to take the stance that, I think international basketball has certainly improved over time. And I think, it's still early. It's still early here. You're going to see the USA team come into contact with some nail biters, I think. And just simply due to the fact that, they don't have the amount of talent that they could have had this year on this team. I think this year's players are good. Don't get me wrong. Guys like Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Derrick Rose, great players. Great, great players. But, compared to, having possibly a guy like Kevin Durant on the team, and a few other pieces. I was surprised they cut Damian Lillard. That was another one I was surprised about. I think, they could have had a better team. And I think that it may bite them in the butt later on as the tournament ensues. But, Coach K could possibly shut me up here because, he decided to go with, three big men and DeMarcus Cousins, Mason Plumlee, and Andre Drummond. Three guys that, could possibly be a sort of a triple tower system. So we'll see how that comes to play. Interesting stuff there. So, all right, thanks a lot, Mike, for your call. Again, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, since it's Tuesday here on the show, Alex, we didn't get to our weekend winners on yesterday's show because we had a best of show here on WKR. Looking at everything that's ensued, throughout this past weekend, including Monday, including yesterday, if you had to choose a few weekend winners, who would they be and why?
Wow, where to start, man? I mean, even coming out of yesterday, my weekend winner has to be Miguel Cabrera. I mean, if you watched him limping down the third baseline on Saturday, it was a scary sight. I mean, then he got taken out of the game. I think it was like the third or fifth inning. They pulled Cabrera to rest him for the game. He doesn't play on Sunday. That was a scary sight for me, watching that doubleheader. And to see him come back yesterday at a game where you're not expecting him to have nearly the productivity that he was at all during the year, to hit two home runs off of Corey Kluber, a pitcher who has never allowed more than three home runs in a game in his whole career. I mean, that is something pretty good. Corey Kluber, obviously a great pitcher for the Indians. So my weekend winner has to be Miguel Cabrera and the Tigers, giving them a little hope that he's still going to be around for the postseason and even before. So that was one winner for me, Al. Another one, I mean, of course, coming off Michigan State, You got to give it to Connor Cook showing up and throwing those touchdown passes and coming up in that statement game. That was pretty big for me. What about for you?
Yeah, well, I have a few here. I think those are pretty solid. If I had to choose, as far as my winners go, how about J.J. Watt signing the biggest deal for a defensive player?
What a statement.
In NFL history.
Yeah.
$100 million? My goodness. I mean, J.J. Watt is certainly a freak of nature, too. I was watching Hard Knocks the other day, and there was a scrimmage. You know, it was Hard Knocks on HBO. They're following the Atlanta Falcons throughout their entire training camp, and there was a time where they had a scrimmage, actually, against the Houston Texans, and they had this rookie linebacker, rookie lineman, I should say, and he had to go against J.J. Watt, and they were showing J.J. Watt. I mean, he is just a man amongst boys out there. He's a freak of nature, man. He looks like a robot out there. So, deservingly so. I mean, one of the most dominant defensive presences in the NFL right now. So, I think he definitely deserves a hefty contract. But I wasn't expecting $100 million. That's unbelievable. He's going to be rolling the dough. Buy you a new Lamborghini, J.J.
Absolutely.
Good stuff there. Also, another weekend winner for me. I definitely want to shout out Nick Fairley's chef. How about that? Nick Fairley's chef is probably getting paid right now because, of course, we know the weight troubles that Nick Fairley had. It was one of the reasons why Nick Fairley was bumped down from the starting spot to the second string. He couldn't keep his weight down, and he just couldn't stay in shape. Jim Caldwell and the coaching staff got frustrated and said, hey, all right, you're on the second string now. Nick Fairley decided to be proactive, and it really started to hit him, and it says, okay, I have a problem here. I have an eating problem here. Let me hire a personal chef to make sure I'm eating right. That chef came in, and, Nick Fairley is cutting weight now. So shout out to Nick Fairley's chef. I think all of Detroit Lions Nation appreciates what you're doing for Nick Fairley right now. So that's one of my weekend winners. As far as losers go, did you hear the news about Jim Irsay this morning? Indianapolis coach owner Jim Irsay, he pleaded guilty Tuesday to one misdemeanor account of operating a vehicle while intoxicated. Now, the NFL is now expected to discipline Irsay before the league's regular season opener on Thursday night. And Irsay, again, he refused to comment as he walked down the steps in the back of Hamilton County Courthouse. And he will also be on probation for a year, during which he will be drug tested. So Jim Irsay, a tough outing for him. I remember we brought that story up and broke it right here on Current Sports and started to talk about it. And, man, you got to be smarter than that. You just got to be smarter than that. And also another weekend loser is Justin Verlander. Verlander, what are you doing, man? Yeah. Of course, in our headliners, we talked about, some nudie pics being released of him and his girlfriend, Kate Upton. And, come on, JV. I see why JV is having a roller coaster year right now. I have to be honest here. I think, he's being distracted possibly by Kate Upton here. I don't know, Alex. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the first step with the Fairley thing, the first step is acknowledging you have a problem.
Right.
So good for him.
Yeah, he's being proactive.
Yeah, JV, that's going to be definitely distracting. One weekend winner, I can't believe we forgot to talk about this. How about Michigan State women's volleyball, Al? They swept the weekend.
They swept the weekend.
Four straight games at the UAB and Samford Invitational. I was covering two of those games for Impact Sports. And, they look really good, and I would not be surprised if they can go very far to a national championship.
I tried to tell you, man. When I did my report, they're ranked 16th in the nation, was six in the Big Ten, 16th in the nation. I mean, the Big Ten Conference is the SEC of women's volleyball. They're good. Kathy George will also be joining me on tomorrow's Current Sports. So get to hear from one of the best volleyball coaches in the nation tomorrow night. Sign up online for free at WKAR.org. All right, folks, we're out of time. We have a very exciting week coming right at you as we continue to preview this Oregon matchup between Michigan State. We have a jam-packed show for you tomorrow. You don't want to miss any of it. Thanks so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday. And, hey, be easy, people.